out, none go out. And but God wants the church to grow. God wants the church to grow. And for it to grow, it basically this is a, if you will, then I will. That's what this is. The Lord is saying, look, if you'll do these things, then I'll do these things. Say, well, you know what? He didn't command them to do it. I think that's the awesome part about it.
All right, yeah.
We don't find a commandment where the Lord said, now, this is what you must do.
Right.
Thou shalt continue daily in the apostles' doctrine.
Come on.
And thou shalt continue in fellowship and breaking of bread. And you shall pray. And you must have fear, every one of you. And then signs and wonders will be done. And thou must believe together. And you must have all things common. And here's something else that you've got to do. Thou shalt sell your possessions. That the Bible does not say that.
Right.
It does not command. You don't say, it does not say, thus saith the Lord, go sell your possessions and give them away. The Bible does not say, and God commanded them to go in one accord into the temple and to break bread from house to house. The Bible doesn't say that. The simple fact that they had the Holy Ghost.
Yes, hallelujah.
Caused them to reach out.
Amen.
There's two commandments in this world. I know that there are 10, but there's two. If you take care of the two, the rest take
That's
care
right.
of themselves.
Yes.
The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, yes. soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment is love people. Love people.
Amen.
And if we'll love people, all of these things will come natural, and it'll be just as natural that the Lord will add unto the church. Amen. Here is a brand spanking new church that had a revelation. Number one, they were excited. Number two, they continued. They continued. Amen. We know that they were united. And then we're going to talk today about them being together. Amen. Together. Amen. Let's look at everything that they did together. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you today.
Hallelujah.
We need you. We need you in this place. We need you to touch our hearts. We need you to touch our spirits tonight. Open up your word unto us. I pray, God, that we could and that we would be receptive to this. Speak to us, Lord. Let the power of your spirit minister. Help us, oh God, to get a revelation, to take it to heart and to apply it to our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
There is a thread of togetherness that is replete throughout the Bible. And when you begin to study the principle of togetherness, you begin to realize just how important it was to God. Amen. We could go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. And we see that everything has to work together in order for it all to really operate functionally. Amen. The sun has to stay put, and the earth has to revolve around it. And the earth has to revolve 360 degrees every 24 hours so that every side of the earth gets the sunshine. And all of the planets revolve around. But not only that, there are plants that have been created by God that work together for the good of you and I. In that there are seasons, and seasons work together. There are seasons that the trees and the plants become dormant. And there is, the Bible said, a time to plant. And there is a time to pluck up that which is planted. Because everything is working together. There are seasons that is fruitful. And there are seasons that we have to replant again. And because of this, with everything working together, then we can have a common or a productive life. We could talk about other things in the Old Testament, but I want to really focus just upon the New Testament here tonight. We could talk about this togetherness and the power that togetherness has upon the church. First of all, I think that it is important to understand, even as we preached Sunday morning about the church, and we understand that in Matthew 16 and 18, that there are two elements about that scripture that are extremely powerful. Number one is the revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. Amen. It is the revelation that God was manifest in the flesh and that Jesus was the salvific name that would be given unto the church for salvation. For the Lord said, upon this rock, upon this revelation, I am going to build my church. We like to say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that is powerful. And that is right. But it is the definition of the church that is the second powerful revelation of that scripture. And we know that that word of church in the English translated back to the Greek is the ecclesia, which just simply means the called out to come together. We know that Peter said that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But thank God you weren't called out by yourself. Thank God that you weren't, amen, called out and saved and said, amen, it was told you that now you have to walk this road by yourself. Amen. Thank God it has not been that way. First of all, you may have family in the church. And let me just stop and say that if you have family in the church, if it would be a spouse or it would be a child or it would be other family members, you need to thank God for that, because they are going to help be the structure and the strength to your daily life. The Bible says that a twofold cord is not easily broken. Amen. A twofold or a threefold cord, the more that you put together, the harder it is to break. So we need to be thankful for the family members that are in the church. But should there not be any family members in the church, you can be thankful that God hath created this organism called the church. And he didn't just fill you with the Holy Ghost and then tell you good luck and hope that you can make it. But he planted your feet in the church. He planted your feet upon a solid rock. He gave you something to stand upon. But he did not stop there. He gave you brothers and sisters in the Lord that would be there to succor you, that would be there to encourage you, to lift you up, and to strengthen you. Think about it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Lord didn't say, Peter, you're by yourself. He didn't say, Mary, good luck, you're by yourself. But 120 were in that upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord said, I'm not going to let you walk this way by yourself. And I'm not even going to let you walk this way just me and you. I want you to walk with others of like precious faith. I want you to walk with brothers. I want you to walk with sisters. I want you to walk with friends. I want you to walk with family. Why? Because the power of togetherness, the power of unity, is extremely important in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's love him today. Praise God. Amen. He said in Matthew chapter number 18, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree Matthew 18, 19, and 20. He said, if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amen. Amen. There's the power of togetherness. God said, if two of you can get together and agree. Amen. I think that that's extremely powerful. I know that it can be extremely difficult. Amen. To get two people to agree upon the same thing. But when we all have the Holy Ghost, when we're all apostolic, we ought to be able to agree upon something. Praise God. Amen, amen. It ought not to be hard to agree upon anything. And the Lord said, look, I'm not asking for 120. I'm not asking for 3,000. I'm just simply asking for two. If two of you can agree upon any one thing, then on earth touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them. Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 6. Amen. The Lord spoke and he said, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. And so God put the power of together in the marriage union, binding them together, and it makes it much stronger in unity. Praise God. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. We know that scripture, as the Bible said, all things work together for the good to them that love God. Not only to him, not only to her, but to them. In other words, we're going to have to be together. We need to be in one place. We need to be of one mind and one accord. Amen. Praise God. We need to have one vision. We need to have one purpose as we serve one God. But in doing this together, the Bible said that all things work together. In another place, he said all things worked. He said all things work together for good. Amen. And that we are to give thanks unto the Lord for all things. And so God knows what it takes. Amen. To help you, God knows what it takes to keep you in the straight and narrow. Sometimes it takes pressure. Sometimes it takes humility. Sometimes it takes encouragement. But God knows you, and God knows how to take a little bit of this, and God knows how to take a little bit of that, and God knows how to mix it together and to put it in your life. And it's not just in your life, but I believe with all of my heart that right now we are in the perfect will of God. You're in the will of God. I'm in the will of God. And together we're working on a great and a mighty revival. There's been a little bit of this that has happened and a little bit of that that has happened. There's been some chaos. There's been some disturbance. There's been some pressure, but there's been some blessing. And God said, I'm going to use all of this for my purpose, because I've got a church that's not a part of the church yet. I've got a people that are out there in the world, and I need a church that is come together to be in unity of the body, that when the Spirit begins to move, then God is going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak all things, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Praise God. We need to work together. We need to work together. Military term was united we stand, divided we fall. And so we've got to work together. Paul said that I beseech you that you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Praise God. We need to work together. We need to work together. I know there's going to be times that you're not going to see everything my way, and I'm not going to see everything your way. And the reason simply is because we are human. God didn't make us cookie cutters. God gave you the power to think just like he gave me the power to think. I understand that I'm the pastor and that I've got to set the direction. Amen. But we've all got to work together. And I know that the enemy understands this. And the opposite of together is going to be division. And Paul said, don't let division be named among you. And so we've got to work together for that same spirit, not feeding divisions, not feeding things. That's why the Bible said that we need to be able to forbear one another, because we're not always going to be just chipper with one another. And so we're going to have to give each other a little bit of space. But at the same time, we all going to be adults besides our kids, and we're going to let our kids be kids and such like that. But we've got one common goal. And any time that you see the devil come in and try to distract that goal, which is to cause disunity or to stop revival, you need to be big enough to say, hey, devil, you're not getting in my house. And I'm not just talking about your physical house down at a certain street. I'm talking about this house, this tabernacle. Amen. Devil, you're not coming in. You know why? Because I've got too many lost loved ones that need the Holy Ghost. I got too many friends. I got too many neighbors that need the Holy Ghost. I got too many people in my life that need the Holy Ghost. And I want to make sure that I'm a conduit of energy, of positiveness to them, to witness to them so that they can receive the Holy Ghost. If your parents don't have the Holy Ghost, it ought to bother you. If your children don't have the Holy Ghost, it ought to bother you. If you got aunts and uncles that don't have the Holy Ghost, it ought to bother you. Amen. We got to make sure that sin bothers us, that hell bothers us, that the lost bothers us. I don't want to see anybody lost. Don't want to see anybody go to hell. I want to make sure that I'm what God would have me to be in order to see them all saved. Praise God. Amen. We know that the power of togetherness is exponential. For the Bible tells us, even in the book of Deuteronomy, that one should chase 1,000 and that two could put 10,000 to flight. Amen. Praise God. And so being together is exponential. Exponential power. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they used to do these big oxen pulls. And they would say, whereas one oxen could pull 3,000 pounds, then just by common sense, we would say that two could pull 6,000. But actually, when you team them together, it is exponential power. One may be able to pull 3,000, but two is going to pull 7,000 plus. Because of the exponential power of them working together. And that's what I want the church to be. I want the church to be united together. Amen. To exponentiate the power of Jesus Christ through us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got young people. We'll have more young people and stuff. And we need adults to take an invested interest into the young people to encourage them and to lift them up and to do just the little things. Just the little things. There's been some little things that's been happening here around the church, and it has encouraged this pastor. When I hear these little stories of people that are doing stuff for others and helping others and reaching out and doing things for Sunday school and such, I just want you to know, it makes my heart smile. It does. It does. It's just us working together. Working together. It doesn't matter what it is. I've come by on Saturday evening and I see Brother Hunter out there and he's mowing the yard and taking care of it. And I said, you know what? That's just perfect. I love it. And I've told him multiple times. I said, look, just call some of the other young men and have them, get together and meet you and help you and stuff. He's like, I got it. I got it. I don't know when I'm going to be there, but I'm going to make sure that it's going to happen. And then we've got people that come in and all they do is just bring some snacks for the Sunday school kids. That's together. That's investing in that. And we've got bus drivers, and we've got all of these other little things that's taking place and happening and stuff. And it's all of us working together. All of us working together. Praise God. And it makes a difference. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Gathering should be together. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And so they were together. Praise God. Let me just continue on here. Acts 4:31. And they prayed. When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:21. We know that we are a building fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. Hebrews 10:25. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. There is a power that is invested into the coming out. Be called together when the church fulfills that definition. Amen. Praise God. You're going to let me preach here for just a few minutes of time. Amen. You're not going to gather strength at home. Amen. And I know that there are those of you that are home right now and you're listening on band to the message. And I'm not talking to you. You're sick and you've called me and you've let me know that you're not going to be here. But the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Coming to church is important. Amen. You need the power of togetherness. You need the strength of the brothers. You need the strength of the body. And the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. This goes further than just missing church. Amen. For the forsaking, amen, simply stands for I could have been, but I was not. Well, it's getting quiet. I'm not against vacations. You work hard. Amen. And you deserve vacations. And I want you to take vacations because I want you to want me to take my vacations. But I don't have anything about that. I don't have any problems with that. I don't have any problems, amen, with doing things that kind of pop up and here it is. And you let me know about that. And I appreciate all of those that let me know about things and such. Amen. If you're like, well, you know what? I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. Then I'm telling you what, you need forgiveness because there's something wrong there. But if you just reach out to me and say, hey, Pastor, I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, or hey, Pastor, something has come up, we're not going to be there, and such like, I can understand a lot of that, all right? When it is consistent happening all the time, then there is a problem. When it comes to the place that you're looking for, what day you're going to miss rather than come to the house of God, then there is a problem. Amen. Why? Because the devil does not want you to come together, because when you come together, you hear the word of God. And when you come together, the word enlightens your mind. And when you come together, God speaks to you about the situations that you're going through and is able to help strengthen you. Therefore, the devil doesn't want you to come together. Praise God. I was preaching just a few weeks ago. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I was preaching, and Brother Michael, he got so excited. And if you ever want to know what he's thinking, just read his face, because it'll tell you. I can tell every time Revelation hits that guy. I mean, bam. And I mean, because there's a smile. He got it. And so I guess him and his mom had faced some things, had gone through some things and stuff, and some things that they didn't understand had happened and whatnot and stuff. And so they come to church. I think it was on a Wednesday night, and it may have been a Sunday night. I don't remember. But they come to church, and so I got to preach. And it's not me. It's not me. Contrary to what you think, Sister D., I'm not talking to other saints to find out what to preach. If that works, I need to start calling them a whole lot sooner. You see, all this lack of hair up here that's coming that way, that's because I'm getting about an hour from church and I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to preach? And so I just pray and seek in God, and that's just how it happens for me. I cannot, you know, and you've heard me talk about it. I've got a holiness series that I'm working on, and I actually worked on it some this morning, and when it came to this afternoon, I kind of pushed it off to the side, said I got to focus on tonight. And I'm just being honest with you. That's hard for me. That really is. That's hard for me. I'm not that type of person. I can build things. I can put messages and sermons and stuff together, and then they'll sit in a file called not preached, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows because I just can't do that. I can't do that. And so what happens is I come into the sanctuary, and I begin to pray and seek God, and then all of a sudden it's like there's a vein that just clicks in, and there it is. And I begin to pray, and it begins to come out, and I begin to write some things down and continue to pray about it. And once I get a good start on it and feel released, then I'll take that and take my notes and go to the office, and I'll start putting some stuff together. And a lot of times that's about an hour to an hour and a half before church. And I believe that we need to, that as a pastor, I need to be given to teach things. And so stuff like this, there is some things that I'm working on and going through and stuff. And so some of this is here. But even this, I mean, it didn't start coming together until about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So anyways, I'm preaching away and stuff. Come to find out, long story short, Brother Michael contacted me and via text, and he said, Mom and I was going through a lot of things, and we didn't understand some stuff. He said, but as you was preaching tonight, he said, there was total enlightenment that enlightened us to exactly what was going on, and we understand it now. And he said, you know, Mom came to me and said, can you believe that he did that? That the preaching came forth and did that? And Michael said, Brother Michael, he said, yeah. He said, I've just come to expect that. That's why he said, I've just come to expect that. Let's just say that's what God wants to do in our lives. I need preaching. If I can't preach myself under conviction and preach myself in the altars and stuff, I'm miserable. Amen. How am I going to be saved? And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is preach things that I know that I'm guilty of, or I know that I'm not in line with and stuff. And I got to do it because I got to preach myself into the altar. I got to preach myself right. And so that's why the devil doesn't want you to show up. Devil doesn't want you to come, because he knows that there is power in preaching, and that when you come together, amen, that you're going to be encouraged. You may come in depressed, but you can leave encouraged. You may come in weak, but you can leave strong. You may come in discouraged, but you can leave encouraged. Amen. You may come in with questions, but you can leave with answers. But you're not going to get those answers sitting at home. You're not going to get the answers that you need. You're not going to get the encouragement that you need. You're not going to get, amen, the spirit that you need by sitting at home. You're not even going to get it listening to it on a band app somewhere. You're going to hear the message, but you're going to feel the absence of the body. And whereas there may be a connection in spirit as you're listening, and that's why we have it, so that you can listen to it and you can feel that. But yet, that's like sitting so far away from the table and not really being able to partake of it. I know it has its place, and that's why we have it. But you will never feel, experience, get what you get in the church by listening to a tape, a CD, an app, a podcast. podcast, or some web seminar somewhere. The best that you're going to get is when you come in. Why? Because you're fulfilling the Word of God. You're fulfilling the definition that you're coming together. And when you come together, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm going to be in the midst of them. Praise God. And so we need that. We need that. We need that. And we cannot forsake. We cannot forsake. Praise God. It's anti-biblical. It's anti-biblical just to say, you know what? I just don't feel like going to church tonight. That is 100% your flesh speaking. And you need to take that flesh by the nape of the neck, take it to church and throw it in an altar and say, you're not getting up until you get past all of this. Well, I know that's old-fashioned preaching, but that's the way that it was when you and I grew up. And guess what? We're still here. Amen. Amen. I remember telling my mom, Mom, I'm sick. I don't feel good. And she said, well, we'll call the pastor and he'll come to the house and he'll pray for you and you'll feel better and then you can go to church. I remember calling the pastor and letting him pray over the phone. It wasn't me, but it was my mom. She believed in being in church. If there's anything that she believed in being in church. Amen. There may have been times I say, Mom, I don't feel very good. I feel like I'm going to throw up. She'll say, well, throw up and prove it. And then you throw up. She says, now, don't you feel better? Now, let's go to church. But you got to understand that that's what the devil wants to do, is he wants to separate you from the body. He wants to divide you out of the body. And it's as simple as just not being a part of the church on a Wednesday night or any other given night. Amen. Not being a part. Now, I know that there are some that are working second shift. Amen. And I don't necessarily call that forsaking the body, forsaking the assembling. God has opened up you a job to do. Amen. You need to do that. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful in prayer. You need to give your employer, amen, what you're hired on to do. And such. I'm not one that stands up and says, amen, any job you need to take, and if that means you miss church, then that's okay. Amen. That's not okay. It's not okay. Amen. We need to make sure that church is first, that God is first. Amen. Praise God. And then there will be times that we cannot make it, but they need to be few and far in between. And I know that there are people that are on second shift. You know, when you get down into the South, you have these things called the oil fields. And the oil fields are completely different. And if men don't work in the oil fields, they probably don't have a job. Because in many places, that's the only thing there is to do. And sometimes that oil field is, this week it's 8 hours away. And then they have this thing called 14 off, 7 on. So in other words, you're away from home for 14 days, and then you come back home for 7 days. And so you're not going to be able to drive home to come to church. And then there's this stuff called offshore drilling. And you go to a certain place and they put you on a helicopter and they fly you out there to the rig and you're out there. And sometimes it's not 14-7. Sometimes it's 21-7 or 21-10 or 21-14. But those are things that you got to do. And being down there in the South, and these people, they're not going to have houses. They're not going to pay bills. They're not going to do anything if they don't work in those oil fields and such. There's nothing to do. It's like, are you going to work in the oil fields or are you going to work at Dollar General? Because you know there's always a Dollar General somewhere. The Dollar General don't pay the bills. And so you got to do something to do that. And I preached revivals down there. And it was like we had two churches to preach to. Because when everybody was gone and away from home, there would be these certain men here and we would preach to them. And then all of a sudden they would disappear and a whole other group would come in. And that's just the life of that entire industry, that entire area and stuff. That's just the way that it is. And so I understand that. And I believe that God understands that. And when you truly, truly think about this, and I know I'm walking on water right here, but God will hold me up. Coming to church 3 times a week is really a Western culture. It's a Western culture. You get into some of these foreign mission fields and such like that, and they don't even have a church building. And they're meeting at houses way out in the woods. Brother Schreckheist talked to us about that. That they would drive as far as they could and then they would hike in. I heard a missionary talking about that the other day at Brother Epley's. He said, you know, we just hiked as far, we drove as far as we could. And then you get out and you leave the vehicle there, the motorcycles there. He said, and you just walk the rest of the way. And he said, you got a 2-hour walk through a rainforest or whatever to be able to get there. And then you get there. And when you get there, then they just let everybody know, hey, the preacher's here. Everybody's here. Come on, let's gather together. And everybody comes out of the woods and everybody stops doing what they're doing. And everybody comes to church and they'll have church and they'll go to bed and they come back and they may have church for another couple of days. And the preacher said, I got to get to another church. I got to get it to another area and stuff. And that's just the way that it is. But the assembling of ourselves is what is declared to be and declared to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night prayer meetings and such. But that is where your strength is going to come. From you're gonna get enlightenment, encouragement, you're gonna get strength, amen. You're gonna get all of these things when you come to the church. And if you can't get it when you come to the church, something's wrong. And if something's wrong, then let's fix it. Why? Because we want to go to heaven together. We want to go to heaven together. One of these days the trumpet's going to sound and we're all going to go up together. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Together. Praise God. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here. I was preaching to all those that weren't here. Not the ones that are sick or whatever, but we just need to make sure that we're not going to allow the devil to cause us to miss church. Amen. I still believe, calling for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil and pray for the sick. God will raise them up and heal them. Amen. Praise God. I've seen people that have come to church. They've been at the church and then all of a sudden they leave. Why'd you leave? Well, I got sick. Okay, well, I understand you got sick, but you can at least have somebody pray for you before you leave. I'm just telling you from a pastor's perspective, if you're sick and you're like, well, you know what? I'm sick, I'm leaving. I don't even know if you believe in the power of prayer. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the Bible. And let's make sure that we're doing it God's way. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to celebrate together. When he comes, Luke chapter number 15, verse number 6. Oh, I thought this was so awesome. I thought this was so awesome. It's 8:20. I could preach for a long, long time tonight. But my voice isn't going to allow me. And I got somewhere else I want to go. And that's not home. I got somewhere else in this message I want to go. All right? Listen to this. Listen to this. This is so powerful. Oh, this is so good. I don't guess I've really ever seen. I know I've seen it. I know I've preached it. But I never tied it together to the principle of togetherness. First of all, we know that the Bible teaches us that when a sinner repents, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels. All right, so God is rejoicing when a sinner repents. But I don't believe that God's the only one rejoicing. I believe all of heaven is rejoicing. So, listen to this. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 6. We're talking about the lost sheep that went out and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds it. And he finds it and he puts it on his shoulder and he comes home. And the Bible says, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now, I call Luke chapter number 15, I call it the chapter of lost things. the chapter of lost things. And the first thing that we see that was lost was a sheep. Now, we can get into that the sheep was a part of the fold. And the sheep left the fold. There was 100. And the sheep left the fold. Oh, I feel the Lord. I feel the unction right now. I'm ready to preach. The sheep left the fold. He backslid. He went out. And the shepherd goes out after him. Leaves the 99 to go get the one. I just want you to know that everybody is important to God. There's no big I's and no little U's when it comes to the things and to the people of God. Everybody is important to God. Even that one that walked out, that one that left. The Lord said, I got 99 here, but that one matters. That one makes a difference. That one means somebody to me. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. Jesus, when you get into the house of God and you look at the sheep, guess what? They all look alike. They all look the same. And a lot of times the only way that the shepherd can really tell them apart is they got a tag in their ear. And that tag in their ear has a number upon it. And that number tells me that this is sheep number 41 and 42 and 43 and 45. Where's 44? Somebody's missing here. Everybody's got a place. But when it comes down to it, they're all white. They've all got wool. They all got that nose on them. They all got the tail. They all got the same hoofs. They may have a few little different markings here and there, but in the house of God and in the eyes of God, everybody looks the same. God doesn't look at you because that you've got more money than somebody else, and he doesn't look down on you because you're poor than somebody else. God sees everybody the same way. You got red blood and you've got a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. You matter to God. God said, I'm going to go get them. I'm going to go find them. I'm not going to leave them. I'm not going to say, well, I've got 99. I can spare one. No, everybody is important to God. And then when he finds the one, whoo, this is powerful too. God's just good to me today. But this is powerful too. When he finds the one, he doesn't take his belt off and start driving that sheep. You goofy little sheep, what are you doing now? Don't you know that you're better in the house of God? And he doesn't drive that sheep back to the house of God. He picks the sheep up, puts him on his shoulder, and he carries him back to the house of God. I don't understand people that want to drive the sheep. Amen. When you start trying to drive the sheep, amen, it creates chaos and it creates confusion. And you can say, oh, well, you know what? That's why they have border collies and such. You are exactly right. And in the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. And there's the shepherd, and he has a rod and he has a staff, but he's got two little border collies called goodness and mercy that's keeping you hemmed into the fold, that's walking around, amen, and that's making sure that you're there. Goodness and mercy, not ravagedness and destruction, but God's goodness and God's mercy is leading us and helping us. And when I can't find my way, he picks me up and carries me where I need to be. And then what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The Lord sends out a text message, a group text. This is 2023. He sends out a group text and said, hey, we're getting ready to party. We're going to celebrate because that one that was lost has come home. We're not sneering, looking down, looking over our shoulders. We're not doing that. The shepherd said, no. We're going to celebrate. That's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate. Things don't change when you go to the next lost item. And that's the lost coin. And here's somebody that had some coins and she lost one. And you know the crazy thing about that? The coin didn't even know it was lost. Lost in the house. And didn't even know it was lost. And that lady was doing everything that she could. She's taking up rugs, looking in the cushions, looking everywhere. But when she finally finds it, it wasn't out on the street, down at the honky-tonks. It was right in the house. You can be just as lost in the house as you can be out in a foreign country. And actually, it's more dangerous because at least the prodigal son realized when he come to his senses, I'm lost. That coin never even knew it was lost. It's a crying shame when you can come to the house of God and just sit through messages and all of that other stuff and you don't do what you're supposed to do and you just think everything is okay. You're lost. You're lost. You can be just as lost in the house of God as you can be in the foreign fields. How are you going to be saved if you don't pay tithe and offerings? God's not going to say, well, you didn't pay tithe, but you were faithful. You get a get out of jail free card. No, you're lost. You're lost. You say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't, you know, that's not my beliefs. God didn't ask you if that was your beliefs. All you have to do is go study the principle of first things. The principle of first fruits. First things. We're not the firstborn in Egypt killed because they didn't belong to God. You know how we know they didn't belong to God? Because they didn't have any blood applied to their lives, to their doors. And God said, if you're not going to give me the first things, then I'll take it. And the firstborn of Pharaoh died. And their cattle died. And everybody's firstborn died. That's just a principle of first things. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about the principle of first things. Things. First things. Tithing is not a tenth. Tithing is the tenth. There is a difference. There is a difference. If you don't understand it, you can come talk to me. We can help you. And it's just because we want you to be saved. I pay my tithe. Not only do I pay my tithe, I give offering as well. Every week, I pay my tithe, I give offering. I don't pay a tenth, I pay the tenth. And then the Bible talks, and the fat thereof. They had the tenth of the first fruits and the fat thereof. The fat was the offering. The fat was the offering. You say, well, I don't understand what the difference is between the tenth and a tenth. All right, here's the deal. Let's say I have $1,000. What is the tenth? Anybody? The tenth is what? The tenth is 100. Okay? I have $1,000. The tenth is 100. But if I pay my utilities with that 1,000 and my utilities is 300 because it's summertime in Augusta. And I pay 100 on the water and the gas. That's 400. And then I pay my car note, and that's 400. I have 200 left. A tenth is $20. A tenth is what's left over. So I'm going to do all of this, and then I'm going to give a tenth of what I have left. The tenth is, this is the increase. The tenth is all of this. I pay tithe on the tenth. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I promise you that wasn't in my notes. It's just what come out of my mind when I start talking about being lost in the house of God. You can be lost in the house of God. I don't want to be lost. Why? I'm going to tell you the two of you like this. If I go to hell, I'm going first class. I'm going first class. It's not going to be sitting on an apostolic pew. If I go to hell, I'm out of the church. I'm doing everything that I desire to do, everything my carnal nature wants to do. I'm going to buy, going to spend, going to be, going to do all of that. I'm going to hell first class. But I'm not going to hell on a first, amen, Pentecostal pew. Amen. I don't plan on going to hell. I plan on making it to heaven. And I'm not going to be lost in the house of God. I'm going to do everything that I can. Everything that I know to do. Because I'm going to be saved. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. It's 8:30. I still got time. I still got somewhere I want to go. It's a good thing we only sang one song. I got to throw these little laugh lines in at you so you don't get too bored. And so this lady found her lost coin. She found her lost coin. What did she do? She picked up her phone and she called all of her friends. That's what it says. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 9. When she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the peace that I had lost." So again, we see something that's lost. But when it comes back and when it's found, when it's where it properly needs to be, when it's put into its proper place, amen, and it's connected together with the rest of them, then there is rejoicing that needs to happen. Praise God. And then the final thing, we can look there in Luke 15, we see the prodigal son. And you know the story. And so we know that he left willingly. And he told the father, he said, "Just give me my inheritance. If you was dead, I wouldn't even have to ask you of this. Just let me go." And so the father gave him an inheritance. And he went to a far country. And he spent everything. And he found himself in the pig pens, working for the pig farmer. And there he was, slopping pigs. And he thought to himself, when he come to his senses, he said, "The people and the servants that is at my father's house have it better than I have. And so I'm going to go home." And so he does. Gets out of the pig pen and he takes off to home. And when the father sees him from afar, that's not southern for like a fire. That's afar, A-F-A-R, afar. And in the south, you'd have to say, "Is they talking about a fire or are they talking about far off?" You know, afar. It's from afar. Afar. He was a long ways off. And so when the father seen him a long ways off, then he saw the son and he ran to him and kissed him. Now the Bible doesn't say that he called his friends and his neighbors and his family, but the Bible does say they had a party. I'm not into this having a party with one person. I like having lots of people for my parties. And that's what this father did. He told everybody that was around there. He said, "Hey," he said, "kill the fatted calf because my son who was lost is now found. He has come home. And so we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party." And then the other son, he got around and he seen everybody partying and celebrating together. And he got all bent out of shape. It's a crying shame for a backslider to show up and people to start looking around and get all bent out of shape because a backslider came home. If a backslider walks through those doors and sits on the pew, and the only thing that you can think about is what they did to leave, you're the one that needs to come to the altar with them. Because I don't find a father that's sitting there, amen, as the son comes running in and said, wait a second. You're dirty, you're filthy, and I remember you said that you wished that I was dead. Well, I didn't really say that. Oh, yes, you did, because you asked for your inheritance, which is simply saying, Daddy, if you was dead, I wouldn't even have to do this. And you know what? I've got a problem with that. No, that's not what the father did. When the father seen them gathering interest, when the father seen them cresting the hill, amen, he turned around, he looked back and forth, he said, that's my son, and he took off running, and when he got there, he was walking into the house with his son, maybe arm in arm, and he says, hey, everybody, I just want everybody to know this is my son, and he's come back home, and we're getting ready to celebrate, and everybody said, oh yeah, we like having parties. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate with the father over the lost prodigal coming home. All right. Let's skip to the last part. I wanted to talk about one accord. And that's what we are going to talk about. Acts chapter number 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, one place. It could be simply said that they were all together. The Bible only uses one accord one time in the Old Testament, but it uses one accord 10 times. In the New Testament, it uses it most of those times in the book of Acts, signifying the power of coming together. Now, some of that was that the people and the magistrates and stuff like that, they came together in one accord. So the devil knows the power of unity and togetherness, and he's going to use it against you. All right? But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the church. They were all with one accord. Now, that word in the Greek is one word, but in the English we use one accord. But the transliteration of one accord is, I practice this word so many times and I still can't say it, hamathumaron. Hamath umad madon, madon. The on is emphasized. Hamath umadon, madon. All right, that just simply means it is the Greek word which we get our English word harmony from. Harmony. They were all in one place and in harmony. Harmony. That opens up a giant box. Harmony. Harmony. When I think of harmony, I think of something that sounds really good. But harmony never is a solo. Harmony is they harmonize together. So you have your soprano and your tenor and your bass, your alto. You have your symphonies. You have trumpets and clarinets and French horns and saxophone and bassoons and all of these other instruments harmonizing together. I was in band for several years, and our band teacher was extremely good. He stayed the band teacher and kept the band at the top of the district, top of the state for years until he got cancer and died many, many years after I'd even graduated. But I remember him with his little wand. And he was flipping his pages and stuff and reading. And he would look at us and he'd let us know, you know, different things that was getting ready to happen. He'd bring it. He was conducting. I remember sitting in the concerts as we sat there. And he would step up to his podium. He would take his wand. And when he did that, we all came to attention, put our horns, whatever it was, in the proper place. And then we'd start playing. And he would go through. And in practice, he would be going through and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, he had slammed that stick down on his little palm. Bam, 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 bam. And everybody stopped. He's like, "What was that? Over there. I heard it. That's wrong. Somebody's playing the wrong notes. Trumpets over here. Go back. Measure 42. Start right there. Here we go. 1, 2, ready, play. Right there. You're wrong. That's not the right note. That's a flat. You're playing it as a regular sharp. It's not. Flat. Mark it down. And he heard things because it was out of harmony. It didn't sound right. We'd be going along and stuff. Somebody'd be playing. And he'd pop that thing again. "Hey, what are y'all doing? You're not paying attention. You're not supposed to be playing there. You look at that. That's rest." Or he would say, "Where'd you go?" I'm picking on the trumpets because that's what I was, a trumpet player. He's like, "Trumpets, where did you go? You just decided to take a vacation? You're supposed to be playing. You're supposed to come in at measure 156. Oh, you know what the problem is? We stopped counting. We lost count. We got 26 measures of rest, and here we are saying, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2. We get distracted. 3. What are you doing? Where are we at? I don't know. I thought you had count. I don't know. We just messed it all up because we're not in harmony. You know, at the beginning of that, Brother Chuck, what do they call that? My mind wants to say legislature. It's not legislature. That's judicial government. But the right there at the first of everything, before you get into your measures, so it tells you that we're going to have 3 flats this entire song. Or it's going to say we're going to have 1 flat this entire song. And so you know that when you see that over there at the beginning and it has a flat on the B line, you know that that's going to be B flat. So every time you see a B in that song, it's B flat, not B natural. B flat. Most people want to be natural, but they are flat. And so I'd rather be sharp. Anyways. But it's harmony. And there is a conductor. And everybody plays in rhythm. And everybody plays together. And when we were in marching band, the rules were play as loud as you can when we get to this place, you know. FF, whatever that meant, something forte, fabulous forte. but it meant super loud. And then you had, you know, the double P, and that was super soft. And so, you know, he was like, and so we get to where we play. And I remember one time we were playing this in marching band and stuff. We was playing for a UIL. And so our band director, he told us, he said, "I want you to be playing," but he said, "but I want you to be playing so soft that the judges have to lean up to hear you." He said, "and then when we come to this measure and we stop," and he said, "I want you to blow their wigs off of them. I want their hair to stand up and to go backwards. I want it to be," and that's exactly the compliment that we got when we were critiqued on all that. So we almost had to lean forward to hear you, and then all of a sudden you just like blew our hair backwards. Band director says, "exactly what I wanted to happen." But you didn't take that type of mentality into concert band. Concert band was totally different. And concert band got to going on, and he would stop everybody and he would say, "Look, I'm telling you right now, you're too loud. If you can't hear your neighbor, you're too loud. You need to be able to hear your neighbor. This isn't a one-part solo. You need to be in harmony with everybody else. This isn't the Bob Dylan show. You can put your name there. This isn't the show. This is harmony together. And so we'd get back into this and we'd work it together. And that's the way that the Bible defines the day of Pentecost. They were in harmony together. We didn't have somebody sitting up there thinking to themselves, well, I wish he'd be done. I wish he'd ring off. I'm ready to go home. And they didn't have somebody over there falling asleep. And at the same time, we didn't have somebody in there was like, oh, God, we got to have to move, God. Everybody was in harmony together. Everybody was working together. And they didn't even really know what they were working together. Something about the promise. If we get together and we start praying in that upper room, there's going to be the promise of the Father that's going to come. How's it going to come? I don't know. But we got to be sensitive. We got to work together. And so they're all in there. They're meditating. They're praying. There's nobody just sitting around looking and saying, this is kind of goofy. No. No. They weren't out of key. They weren't out of note. They were harmonizing together. That's church. That's where we got to be when we get to that place of revival. We can't be saying, oh, Brother Daniel, you pray today. I'm checking out. It's time for the young people to pray. I'm checking out. And the young people can't be saying, I'm ready for the old people to pray. We're checking out. No, no, no. We all got to be in harmony together. And you know what? Being in harmony together, Brother Gavin, sometimes it's not you. You are going to be at full rest. Somebody else is going to be playing. If you understand music, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because there's times, I remember there was times that we would have 40-something measures of rest. And you can't say, well, I'm tired of not doing something. I'm just going to play something, whatever, but I'm going to do something. You're fixing to get thrown out of the band is what you're fixing to get. But instead, you sit there and you quietly mark time. You don't sit there. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 2, 3, 4. 3, 2, 3. No, 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 no. This is in your head. Why? Because we're working together. But when it's my time to come in, you're not going to have to wait. I'm going to step up and I'm going to do my part. Because now my rests are over and it's time for me to play my part. And you may join in together depending on the conductor's music, depending on who wrote the music and how that it all forms and how that it all goes together. But friend, when we all play it like it was designed to be played, it's absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, I remember being a little sixth grader with my little trumpet. Oh, I was so happy I let all my neighbors know it. They were not celebrating with me together. And all the songs that we would play, oh, one of the favorite was the Marine Hymn March. And we would start playing that. And, you know, there was a time that we finally got to say, we're going to have a concert. It's like, oh, boy. And we start, and you think, that, whoa, we can actually play some songs. And, you know, you get into the seventh grade and you start playing America the Beautiful. And you're like, well, I kind of want to cry. That kind of sounded pretty good. It didn't sound as good as the high schoolers playing it, but starts working together. Harmony. And it's not all of us playing lead and nobody playing solo. It's everybody playing together. I remember marching down the street. Marching down the street. All of us in our little horns and stuff like that. We was in a parade. We were marching down the street playing M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. and everybody's coming in playing their part. Dun, 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 dun. But putting all together, it all sounded kind of good. But you know what? That's what God wants for the church. God wants that for the church. And you may feel like, well, you know what? I don't have a big part in the church. I don't have. Everybody's got a part. Everybody has a part. You say, well, you know what? There's only 300 measures in the song, and I feel like I got 300 measures of silence. Find a different instrument. Actually, just pick up an instrument. Everybody has got a part. Everybody's got a part. Our band director would start handing out music. Okay, we're going to play this new music. All right, here's trumpet one. And somebody would come up here, and he'd give all trumpet one. All right, here's trumpet two, trumpet three. And so we'd pass on. I got clarinet one, I got clarinet two, have flute one, flute two. We got bassoon. Anybody playing the bassoon? No, nobody's playing the bassoon. Okay, we'll put that there. But if there would have been a bassoon, we'd have had his music. I'm just simply saying, God's got a place for you. When the Holy Ghost fell, 120 got it. Everybody got it. And that's the way God wants it for new life. Let's stand here tonight. I know I've been a little bit long tonight. Somebody said, no, you haven't. You've been really long. See, Brother Dennis is still telling me to preach on, so. Sister Glenda, don't slap him. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't. But she was thinking, no. No. I'm being serious. I'm being serious here. I think that the most important thing is that this church comes together. Unity.
Amen.
Together. And the devil's going to try to start little flare-ups here and there. You just have your spiritual fire extinguisher. I know some of you have already put your fire out. No, we just don't need to give place to the devil. Because there's 8,000 people in the city of Augusta that need the Holy Ghost. 10,000 plus in the city of Andover that need the Holy Ghost. Somewhere between 18 and 20,000 in El Dorado that need the Holy Ghost. There's Davidson. There's Rose Hill. There's Derby. There's East Wichita. Just saying there's plenty.
Right.
That need the Holy Ghost. And God needs a church that'll work together. I was 16 years old the second time our church split. There's nothing good that comes out of church splits. There's nothing good that comes out of church division. That's a tactic of hell. And we need to recognize that it's a tactic of hell. Bible said that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. Sowing discord among the brethren. I mean, think about it. He divided Adam and Eve from God. Divided Cain from Abel. Jacob from Esau. Joseph's sons from Joseph. Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Joseph. We could talk about a lot more. The ones that the devil was able to separate. God wants the church to work.
Hallelujah.
Together. Together. Praise God. I believe that when the church, I don't believe we really have an issue. I do believe that there are times that the devil tries to. We just need to be a strong church and say, you know what? Not here, devil. Not here. Because God's going to bring people that are hurt, broken. They've been kicked out, left for dead. They need somebody to love them, to care for them. A church that will come together to bring them in. And that's who you and I are going to be. We're going to be exactly what God's called us to be. And you know what He's called us to be? The church. The church. Powerful. God said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It's not going to happen. Number one, because of the revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. But number two, because a twofold cord isn't easily broken. This church is together. Called out to come together. I need you. I feel you need me. We work together. And we're going to go to heaven together. Amen? That one that leaves matters. And when that one comes back, we're going to rejoice.
Yes, amen.
Together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just pray here for a little while tonight? Amen. You don't necessarily have to come to the front. If you want to, you can. Just I mentioned this yesterday in prayer meeting. God, what would you have me to do to be a part, an effective part of this church? Because I want to do my part. When it's my turn to go, I want to be ready. When my series of rest is over, I want to be ready to step up. And when it's my turn to be quiet, I want to be quiet. Because I want it to be in harmony. Harmony. They were all in one place with one accord. One accord. We can look at several different things of when it all happened, that they were in one accord. Acts 1 and 14, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Everybody was harmonized. Prayer and supplication. Chapter 2, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple had harmony coming together. 4 and 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Amen. Harmony in prayer again. 5 and 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. 8 and 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake. They listened in harmony. 15 and 25, if it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. Amen. I want to be in one accord. One accord. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can we love Him tonight? Let's just love Him. Lift your voice. Love.